And so church is not a museum of saints, it's a hospital for sinners. Church, including ours, is a place where sinners who are broken in their heart by sin can come and find spiritual healing.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's Word. In this episode, we talk about harmony. Whose fault is it when there is no harmony in this world? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren explaining why it's important to break hostility to build harmony. Thanks for listening.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him, through Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That's Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 22. Everywhere you look, there's brokenness in our world. You come to my house, you're going to see brokenness. I have a broken ceiling in my garage in two places. I have a broken closet door. I have a broken shed. And I had a broken power washer. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. And I have a broken front windshield in my truck, and there's probably 12 other things I'm not even thinking of. On a much more impactful and serious note, there's deeper brokenness and wider brokenness all around our world and in our own nation. One study reported last week, August 2019 marks 400 years since European colonists purchased and enslaved Africans in Jamestown, Virginia. In the span of those four centuries, the United States' history of injustice toward black Americans has been tumultuous. Discussions about both the problems behind and solutions to racism tend to produce their own divides. There's conflict in families. There's the blame game at work with everybody pointing their fingers at each other. Neighbors and entire nations can't even get along. So is there any hope to break this hostility and to build harmony in our world and with each other? And if so, where do we begin? Is it even fixable? There is a right answer to that question, but there's a lot more wrong answers, and so I want to start with some wrong answers to the question of, can we create harmony instead of hostility in our world? Here's a few wrong answers. They're familiar to me, which is why I could think of them, and hopefully they're familiar to you too. Wrong answer number one to restoring harmony and breaking hostility. It's not my fault that my sister and I don't talk anymore. She refuses to listen to my opinion, which happens to be the right one. Wrong answer number two. It's not my problem that immigrants are coming to our country, leaving stability in their own countries without any guarantee that they have free access and entry into our country. Wrong answer number three. It is so broke, we can't even fix this. It's not fixable. The hostility runs so deep, and it has been so tragic for such a long time. It's just overwhelming. There's no way we could ever fix it. Here's the right answer. Dear God, there's a lot of brokenness in our world. It's all around me. It's in my city, in my school, in my country, on this planet. And there's a lot of brokenness in my life too, God. And there's brokenness in my life because there's brokenness in my own heart. There's brokenness that's even my own fault, God. But it can be fixed. And God, I believe in you, and I believe that it's repairable and that harmony is possible. God, help me to trust in you and help me to rebuild harmony in our world. That is the right answer. So to help us get along in our world and to bring the peace of God into our lives, we have this book of Ephesians. And there's just the makeup of this congregation, this church in the city of Ephesus, is just amazing because it has so much to teach us about this very relevant topic. So I want to give you some background about the Bible book of Ephesians that'll be helpful to understand this. So first of all, it's a letter. The book of Ephesians, like many books in the New Testament of the Bible, is a letter. It was written by the Apostle Paul to the group of believers, the church in Ephesus. This is all taking place about over 20, almost 30 years after Jesus resurrected from the dead and ascended into heaven. So it's a few decades after that. The apostles like Paul and Peter and James have been preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus, his resurrection. They've been starting churches. One of the churches they started is here in Ephesus. Most of the churches in this northern Mediterranean region, and then also further east of that and down the Mediterranean coast, that eastern Mediterranean coast in the land of Israel, Palestine. So we're talking Asia Minor, Israel, what's now Turkey today, Greece, Italy, that area. In most of those new churches, they were made up of two different groups. They were made up of Jewish people who knew the Old Testament and were looking for the coming Savior. And because Jesus came, they truly believed in him as the true Messiah, and they left Judaism and became Christians, but they're still Jewish in culture, Jewish in blood. That's one group. The other group is anyone who's not that, anyone who didn't have the Old Testament, didn't grow up, really even in the church for that matter, didn't have the Jewish background, referred to as Gentiles. And a major clash as these churches were developing was related to what's called the ceremonial law, the Old Testament law with all of its rules and regulations, its Sabbath day rules. If you lost a sheep and it went into a ditch, you couldn't pull your sheep out of the ditch on the Sabbath because that was work and you're supposed to rest. Everything about sacrifices, all this in the Old Testament, that when Jesus came, he said, that pointed the way for a certain people, the Israelites, for a certain time, before I came, but now those don't apply. You do not have to keep those rules anymore. One of them, for instance, that came up here in Ephesians 2 is circumcision. In the Old Testament, it was demanded for males. That's a ceremonial law. Once Jesus came, It wasn't demanded anymore. So you have this conflict now that the Jewish Christians, by culture, believe that circumcision is very important, believe that keeping ceremonial laws is very important, some Sabbath laws. And you have Gentiles who've never heard of this before and say, no, that's crazy. And you have then this conflict that takes place even in churches among Christians. A little sidebar here. This actually makes me very glad that there's conflict in these early churches. It makes me, as a pastor, glad that the Apostle Paul, like the best pastor and missionary of all time, even in his church, there's disagreement. Oh, whew, I don't feel so bad now. And so I have to tell you this, if you're exploring Christianity or exploring church, new to Christianity, new to church, I'm just going to fess up right now. This churches, including this one, are not a sterile environment where everybody walks around with halos on their head and everything is perfect. That's heaven, and we'll get there someday. Until then, welcome to reality. There's sinners here, including the pastor. And so church is not a museum of saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Church, including ours, is a place where sinners who are broken in their heart by sin can come and find spiritual healing and restoration. Where people who are in tension with each other and there's conflict and there's hostility can find harmony through God. Church is like a gym where now, as forgiven sinners restored by the grace and gospel of God, we can all grow, we can work on our stuff, and we can become spiritually stronger. That's what church is. That's what you get at churches today, what you get at this church too. We're not perfect. So if you're looking for a church full of perfect people, I'm sorry to disappoint you. You will not find it, especially here. But you will find a church full of forgiven people, happy people that God, through Jesus, has a plan of grace and forgiveness for us already starting in this life. Let me one final way emphasize this. By kids, I want to ask you a question. Kids, is there ever any ugly disagreement in your family? Like, you know, your brother or sister wants skunk stew and you want macaroni and cheese, and you have words with each other that aren't really kind. Or is there ever anything in your family where one person in your family doesn't treat the other person very well? Maybe you refuse to share, or maybe your brother or sister takes something from you that belongs to you, it's yours. Or maybe mom and dad might even get ugly sometimes and maybe get angry when they shouldn't be so angry and say things, and maybe even they say they're sorry, like when the cat knocks over the lamp, or when they're going down the steps and they step on a bunch of Legos that you left on the floor. Ow! And they say something bad. That ever happened in your family? Of course it does. It happens in families. But here's the big question, kids. Does that make you leave your family? No. You forgive each other. That's what families do, and you help each other. That's what churches do too. So, with that in mind, I want to read you one of my favorite introductions to the book of Ephesians, and this now gets us into the big idea and the deep point for the day, and this introduction nails it. It says this: what we know about God and what we do for God have a way of getting broken apart in our lives, damaged. We are incapable of living out the full humanity for which we are created. And Paul's letter to the Ephesians joins together what has been torn apart in our sin-wrecked world. So once our attention is called to it, we notice these fractures all over the place. There's hardly a bone in our bodies that has escaped injury. And I think he's talking metaphorically there, as in, hostility and tension and conflict affects us in a lot of ways. There's hardly a relationship in city or job, school or church, family or country that isn't out of joint or limping in pain. There is so much work to be done. And so Paul goes to work. He ranges widely from heaven to earth and back again, showing how Jesus, the Messiah, is eternally and tirelessly bringing everything and everyone together. Whose problem is brokenness in our world? Whose problem is conflict and tension and hostility and racism and judgmentalism and segregation? Whose problem is that? It's Jesus' problem. Okay, understand this now, right? It's not Jesus' fault. And it's not intrinsically his problem, but he makes it his problem. As in, he takes it to himself and he fixes it. He repairs all of it. That's what Ephesians 2 is saying. It's talking about this conflict between Jews and Gentiles, and we apply that to conflict in our lives, and it's saying Jesus is fixing it, and I'm going to show you how here. By first, what he does is he fixes us. So here's what he does. He brings us to the cross. And now, I know this disagrees with all of us at some level at some point. It disagrees with us because by nature, we prefer our own opinion to be our own way and not to need the cross. We prefer to think that we're not the cause of any conflict or any tension in our lives or in our world. And that is so self-seeking, so self-righteous, and so self-deluded. When we think that way, we're not only disagreeing with what's right, we're disagreeing with God. Ephesians 2 earlier, the Bible calls that type of thinking disobedient to God. Gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. That's earlier in verses 2 and 3. So let's start here. And if you start here with me, this is the path to harmony, resolution, and reconciliation. We're broken in our relationships with others because we're broken in our own relationship with God. Here's the good news. When we're willing to admit that, God says, I've already fixed that. I've already brought you to me. I've already reconciled you to me. And God fixes our brokenness by breaking it. He doesn't just repair the dividing wall of hostility, verse 14, but he demolishes it. And here's how. He does it at the cross of Jesus. So here's the big message Paul is bringing to the Jewish Christians in the church in Ephesus and the Gentile Christians who are all members of this church. He's saying this. You have this tension between you, Jews and Gentiles. God has fixed it. And how he's fixed it is he's brought each of you closer to him by the cross. So here's you and me, any of us who have, by disagreeing with others based on our own enamored opinion of ourselves, by disrespectfully judging others merely because of their political opinion, their skin color, how they raise their kids, there's us. And then here's the people we have done that to. What God does is that instead of saying, let's just hold hands and be happy, God reaches out to each of us through the cross and he says, come to me here. This is where I've taken care of it. And when we do, you see what happens? That's
Right there at the cross, that's how God fixes all the conflict, all the tension, all the unfair, sinful, wrong, judgmentalism, and hostility in our world. And he brings us together. Here, verses 16 to 18 say it this way, that Jesus died to reconcile both of them through the cross. See that? Reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he, God, put to death their hostility. He broke that hostility by putting the cross there. He came, Jesus came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. This is the good news. Your and my sinful hostility to others, sinful judging, sinful pride and superiority over them, it died. It died at the cross. It died when Jesus died. It is truly not real. It is truly not condemning of us, and it truly does not control us. The devil just wants us to think it does. It died. It's done with. See, God destroyed it right there. And it can no longer hurt you. It can no longer break you. It can't hurt your relationships. It can't break your relationships. It died there. So how do you better get along with others? How do you live more kindly and lovingly? By remembering this. God brings you to the cross, and he brings other people there too. And he's forgiven them too. We both have access to God through the cross, Paul says. Those who are near, like the Jews, they always had the Bible, they had the sacrifice system, they even heard the voice of God at times, they were near to God. And then the Gentiles who are unchurched, they don't know God, they're coming from miles away. And the Bible says, neither is better. Neither is closer to God or further, because God brings them both to himself through Jesus, through the cross. They both have access to the Father by one Spirit. I met a man recently who works for Habitat for Humanity, and that came up, that thought of that organization came up as I was preaching about this, and their mission, and you just research them a little bit, and you see what good that they do. But here's the idea. Habitat for Humanity brings together people, often of different classes, societal classes, or even colors of skin, not all the time, sometimes, brings together people, volunteers, who have their own affordable housing, and others who are looking for affordable housing and don't have it. And it brings those two people in our society together. Not like this, but by both of them joining together in this wooden framework of a project we call a house. Through the house, they come together. And some of the smiles and success stories that I read about Habitat for Humanity. Maybe some of you have even volunteered for them or seen it in your community. But it made me realize, not this, but it brings people, there's something that brings people together, something in the middle. That wooden framework, according to the Bible, and your life and mine, that wooden framework is the cross. And there's smiling faces and success stories because the cross brings us together. That's how God is fixing the church in Ephesus, too. So here's verses 19 through 21. It says that because of the cross, we are all God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Every brick and board in God's church, and now he's talking about the church with a capital C, not a small c, and the church with a capital C is We call it the Holy Communion of Saints, the forgiveness of the Holy Christian Church, the Holy Communion of Saints. That it's the invisible church. It's all believers everywhere. Multiple denominations, multiple times in history, everywhere, from Abraham and earlier to the future. All believers everywhere in God's kingdom or church. There's bricks and boards, but not literal bricks and boards. You and I are the bricks and boards. And we align together with each other. We match up this way. What does he say? In him, in Jesus, the whole building is joined together. Again, it takes Jesus to come between us, and then we're joined together like bricks and boards in a house. In a house. Habitat for Humanity uses real boards and bricks. We come together through others every time. Anyone in conflict comes together through a different wooden framework, through the cross. You have conflict and tension in relationships, personal relationships in your life, and there's disharmony and hostility in our world, and we say it's broken. No, it's not broken. Our understanding of those other people is broken. Our insight and our awareness, our ability to listen, our realization of how God is in it, kind of like YouTube, you know, saved me, and God, in a 52-second message of his promise, can tell us about the cross that fixes it all. It's all fixed already. God repaired it at the cross. So the question really is, how can I be a more loving person? How can I practice more kindness to others who disagree with me, whose political opinion is different than mine, whose skin color and culture I don't even understand? How can we get along better? You don't have to fix that. God already did. So this week, send a text message. You shouldn't have to think too much. There's a person in your life with whom you're experiencing tension right now. It could be in your own family, your own marriage. Children, parents, in-laws, neighbors, a coworker, someone you haven't talked to, a friend you haven't talked to in years. God is telling you in Ephesians 2, this week, send the text message. Write a handwritten note. Pick up the phone and call. Send an email. Find them in person in the coffee shop at work. And say, you know, there's this tension between us. And I learned something on Sunday. God spoke to me through his word. And I've always thought this is a problem, or that you're the problem. And God already fixed it through Jesus at the cross. And you and I just want you to know that I believe that we can find our way. Because God already has. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.